Welcome back to Across the Couch. I'm your host, Meg.
And I'm Blue. We're your hosts here to dive into the latest in pop culture, lifestyle trends, and all things that let us leave reality behind.
So let's dive in. Oh my God, what a time.
Right.
Well, today I'm excited to kind of finally deep dive into the fluorescent hallways of Lumen.
Yes.
Everyone was on me about finishing Severance, and it took me a while to get into it, to be honest, which I feel like was a shared sentiment with a lot of people. But for me, I was like boycotting it. Like Kevin wanted to watch it so bad, and I was just like, no, like it's just not for me. Usually like sci-fi is like not that interesting to me, and like I can't really get really tied into like character building and all of that, because there's just like so many weird things going on usually. So I was like not interested. But then I like by episode 3 of season 1, I was like, okay, like I can't wait for you to get home so we can watch this.
It's funny that you say that you felt like it was like fantasy, because I did not get that at all.
Oh, I wish. Really?
Yeah. To me, it was almost, you know what it gives me? It actually gives me two shows kind of like combined in one, just by the way it's like it's almost like a real world problem. It kind of reminds me of a mix of like, it gives me Lost, if you have ever seen
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yes. Like very confusing. You had to use your brain a lot while watching it. It gave me that. But it also kind of gives me like Handmaid's Tale. Does that make sense
yeah,
too?
Yeah, no, totally. I didn't watch, but I know like the vibe, you know? And again, like that's why I didn't watch that right. was because I was like, TV is like my de-stress time. Like I don't want to have to use my brain that much.
No, totally.
But then like once you get over that hurdle and you like understand like the characters a little bit, then it just, then you're interested and you're hooked. So like it becomes easier.
Yeah.
To use your brain, I guess.
Yeah. But I was the same way.
But yeah, the show, the show took us on like this like slow burn and like that sci-fi ride that like had us questioning like identity. And to me, I was just so confused. And like I was like asking him questions. I was like, what's happening? Like, what does this even mean? And he was like, no one knows what it means. Like, we're all figuring it out, like as we're watching it. And I was like, oh, it just drives me nuts that I like can't like figure out what's going on. Like, it was driving me insane. And the difference between, and I don't know if you felt like this, but for me, understanding like the innie versus outie and like what they didn't remember, what they did remember, like that took my brain like a hot second to understand.
That's probably one of my favorite things about the show was I love the idea, this concept of like an innie and an outie and not a belly button. I just love that it was like they would refer to their innie and their outie. And at first I was like, I knew what was going on. Like they were almost like a different person. Like obviously you're severed. Once you go up to the severed floor, your brain becomes a different person. But I love that they're so different from each other. Like, I guess like I didn't think that was going to happen necessarily like going into the show, but yeah, I loved the concept, but I definitely agree. Like, I think when we watch TV, we want to like be in the know at all times. So like we can pay attention a little bit better. And I think I agree with what Kevin said. I think you're not meant to really understand like going through it. I think you're supposed to be like, I have a lot of questions, because that's kind of what they want. Because then you keep coming back because you're like, I need the answers to it. Or you hate it and you're like, I'm never going to get the answers. I'm not watching it again. So
no, this is so true. It's like almost too calm in the beginning. So like mm-hmm. it wasn't initially like grabbing me because I was like, oh, like this is too calm. And I'm like too high strung as a human anyway. So like it's just too much.
Right.
But then like the mystery of it all, like it slowly starts to kind of unfold. And then suddenly you're like, I'm in too deep and I can't stop watching now. So
yeah.
That was my vibe at least.
No, I mean, I feel like it's funny that you say you were like hooked in like episode like around 3. I think it took me longer, honestly. Like we put it on and I was like, it's really interesting, I'll keep watching. But I think it was such a slow burn that I was like, when are we gonna get juicy? Like it wasn't juicy enough for me. And I think it's like once like his old coworker dies and then he's kind of like, something's not right, then I was like, okay, I feel like it's gonna get really good. And then I was still kind of lingering, but the end of the first season obviously like snatched my soul. I was like, I need season 2 out. And thankfully, I think you were the same way. We watched it when season two was out. So it was easy to kind of like transition in. I don't think I could have waited a whole year or more.
No, it was like longer than a year. I think COVID really like threw a wrench in their whole plans. But I could not imagine being left on that big of a cliffhanger and then having to wait years for something to come out. Like, that's so annoying. So like, I'm glad that I waited till I did to watch it. But whew, that show is like, it was a commitment. Like, they're long episodes. So, I mean, it's taken me a little bit to get through. Cause again, you have to like be in the mindset to like use your brain to watch that show.
Totally. I know, you have to like, you have to be severed to watch.
Oh my God. You're so, so right. Oh my God.
Well, I have a question.
That's insane.
I have a question for you. All right. So what was your like first impression of our main characters? Like, who really stood out to you? Who did you really like? Who did you like right off the bat? And then did you dislike or like just not care about anybody? And then they really grew on you. Like, what was your kind of impressions of everyone?
Yeah. So originally we start out the show with Helly on the table, and I was like, I feel like because she starts the show and she's kind of like against what's happening there from like the jump, I was like on her side. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, why would anyone sign up for this? And why would this be the situation here? And the fact that Mark just kept like pushing it and was like, no, this is the best. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was on her side, but I didn't necessarily like love Helly and like her character yet. Like, I was just kind of like, okay, we get it. You don't like it, it's fine. But Mark really just like drove me nuts because he was like Mr. Okay. Like, he just said okay to everything. I felt like he was kind of like monotone. Like, he just went like this for like the first couple episodes. But I love Dylan and I love Irving. I felt like their banter back and forth was like the comedy in the show that like I felt it really needed. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed like the witty comments back and forth, but like how high strung Irving was, but then how like, you know, Dylan was just happy to be there, but also would like, you know, pick on people. So yeah, I really enjoyed Dylan's character and Irving's like right off the bat, but I just was like, I didn't understand them. Whereas I felt like I had a better understanding of Helly because she was against this, which like, if I was first in that situation, I woke up on the table and being told like I severed, like I would be against it too. Like, what the fuck?
I liked Helly from the beginning for the same reason. I feel like she was kind of like the hero, if you will. Like, there was something just about her character being like against what was going on, and I felt like there was more to her story. Like, something just told me she was like not what she seemed to be, just because she was so against it that I was like, something seems suspicious, and it's not Helly, it's like her outie. I felt like something was weird, but I wasn't sure what. Mark, I don't love him. I think he is so, just boring. Not the actor. The actor's obviously doing a good job at playing Mark, but I didn't love him. I just think he was very similar to what you said. I think he's like a yes man, and we all hate those. So, but
hate.
But I love Irv. Irv is probably my favorite. So good. And
I'm like truly like, he just grew on me throughout the entire season. Like, I love him.
Yeah. I didn't not like Dylan. Like, I did like him in the beginning, but I was like, he's just kind of like grumpy to be there. But also like, he probably just has a crappy life at home and he like does, but he doesn't know what that's like. So I think he's just like cracking jokes all the time, but he still seemed grumpy. So I wouldn't say I loved him throughout the first season. He definitely grew on me more toward the end. And then, of course, season two, which we'll get into, I really liked him because I liked getting a background to Dylan. But I think going into it, I loved Irv and I did really like Helly. And they were pretty much it. They kept the show going for me.
No, I totally agree. I think season one, I almost wish that we had a little bit more on the background of the characters, yeah. Outie, more than just like Mark S, just because it would have, I don't know, just like made me think a little deeper on those characters maybe during season one at least. But the whole like concept of like they're different innies, they're different as their innies than their outies. Like, it took me a minute to understand like what even that meant. Like, the elevator scene, like when they get in and they like, you know, Marques is like eyes roll to the back of his head and he like comes back out. I was like, wait, so like the minute they get down there or up there, they don't remember what just happened. And they go and live this other life and then they come back to work. Like they know they're coming in into work. They know that that's like they go there and get severed, like their severed brain turns on. And they switch. Like, I was like, what's happening? It like was such a crazy concept, which is like this whole, the whole show is built around this, but just like such a fun twist on like the workplace environment and kind of like, it just got me like feeling like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, have I felt like that at jobs before? Like, so weird. Mm-hmm. What are your like, what were your first impressions of like the show's pacing and the tone overall? Like once they were, they've gone in the elevator and they've gone up or they've gone down. The up and down thing is really confusing. They've gone down to the severed floor. What was your initial like feelings when you, when they got off that elevator? What did you feel?
Well, so my, I would say my reaction to that was, I mean, it was such an interesting, like, visual to see them kind of, like you said, roll their eyes back in their head and, like, have, like, a That's So Raven moment almost. It was like they were having a vision. And
no, so, so true.
I feel like I was, like, always kind of anticipating, like, what was waiting for them. Just because, like, I feel like they always did something that was, like, not great the day before. Whether it was, like, trying to run away, escape, argue, just anything. They were always doing something that I'm like, I feel like something is waiting for them. And like, also someone had told me this, obviously after I watched the first season, they were like, yeah, when you think about them leaving and then coming back the next day, no time passes for them, so they don't get to like go home. So, and I guess the same thing with their outie, because that time away doesn't exist for you. So when they get on the elevator and they go back to being an outie, that doesn't exist. So they come right, they get on the elevator and then it opens back up and it's them again. So they don't have any rest.
Which is why it's so confusing, because I felt like, because we got to see like Mark S. like exit the office and like go on like dates or whatever. Like that was so confusing for my brain to understand, because then when Helly would go in the elevator to like leave and then it would show her come right back, it was like no time passed. But then like we did see Mark's time pass. So I was like, what's happening? Like, so
well, obviously there was a buildup for, you know, everyone else but Mark. So of course we're following Mark's story. And I think they definitely were saving a lot of the drama of like everyone else outside for a later season, for more character development, but then also the big plot twist at the end. So yeah, I think it was a little trippy, honestly, watching them get to the severed floor, seeing them kind of like come into this, you know, their new person, if you will. And then just knowing that like they never really get to experience anything other than work. Like that's kind of a sad, sad way to live.
That's the part that really got me thinking like, oh my God, we spend so much time working. Like that's, that's our lives is like work. You know, we spend so much time there. These are the people you like spend your most of your life with versus your loved ones. So it's like, it's crazy. It just really got you thinking.
I mean, when you think about it too, like we kind of, in a way, we kind of are severed. We just don't forget what happens. But like, you think about like when you go to work, like you are around these people all the time and they do, you know, have their own part in your life, but they're not necessarily, not everyone that you work with is like carries through to your personal life. Some people do, some people you become really good friends with and they do, but you think about it, like, I mean, there's even people who go to work and they have like relationships outside of the relationship at home. Like it's all real stuff. It's just, this show just takes it in more of a manipulated, you know, creepy way, if you will, because they're obviously, their brain is changing to a whole nother person, but like that really does happen. So it is a very interesting concept to watch them have like two separate lives, and people do that every day. Having two separate lives.
No, it's so true. The corporate burnout, man, the metaphor with it is just insane. Props to the writers, because they did such a good job like nailing that key point.
Well, so what were your, so how did you feel about Helly's outie? So let's go back to, you know, end of season one. You find out really who she is, because you don't really know prior to that anything about her outie. Were you like, what was your reaction? Were you surprised? Did you kind of see it coming the whole time? What did you think?
No, I was so shook by her outie. I thought, based on her like Innie's response and like that rebellious attitude, mm-hmm. I kind of thought that her outie was like maybe more troubled on the outside and like had kind of maybe done something to like screw up her life, or like, you know, where where her outie's mind would then put her in a spot where she was like, you need this, almost like taking yourself to rehab. Like, that's kind of what I was building in my head, was like, oh, she's troubled on the outside. So like she put herself in a situation where she was going to have two separate lives and she was going to like get her act together essentially by going and getting severed and then working, whatever. So that's like kind of how I thought of her throughout the whole thing. And then like all of her rebellious Innie actions kind of made sense to me with that theory. And then I was like shook by the end of season one, finding out that like she was an Egan. Like I was like, there's no way. But then I was like, wow, such good writing. Like for her character be the one, you know? Insane. Yeah. I know, right? Same. But literally that was like the biggest shocker to me. I gotta be honest, I had a little hard time with understanding like Irv's character, because I felt like his outie and his Innie were so similar, whereas like Helly's was obviously so extreme. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So like just understanding each character was interesting, but definitely Helly's was like the biggest shock from season one to then who we really got to see play out in season two.
Well, so I agree. I thought the same thing. So with Helly, I felt like maybe she was kind of like troubled and she was kind of using Lumen as like a way out of like being this like crappy person. Never once did I think that she was an Egan. So that was definitely a shock. I was gagged at the end. Like I remember being like, this is what I waited for. Like this scene is what I needed. Then I was hooked. So I was like, let's go, season two. But I feel like why, because I agree with you with like Irv's character outside, and we really got to see him, Mark, and Helly with through the first season outside because of, you know, the overtime contingency that they did. They're the only three that we got to see in the first season. And I mean, honestly, I felt like Mark was the same outside as well. He was just kind of annoying, like an annoying dude.
Seriously.
Irv, I just felt like he was like confused inside, but also confused outside. So I didn't really see the correlation. But I guess why Helly was more of a shock to us is because they, as in Irv and Mark, are more similar to their outie, where she was so different because she literally had no idea that her outie was an Egan. And yeah, I think that like totally shocked me. I think it really like, what a good way to put a cliffhanger on a show, honestly. The whole time I kept thinking that Irv and Bert, the whole time Ben kept saying, I feel like they're probably husbands or something. And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. Like it probably is. And then I kept saying, I want Irv to be straight outside because I feel like that's more of like a gag that he's not, and that, or both of them, not like one has to be and not the other. But I was like, it's just such a connection that they have inside that like it wouldn't make sense if like we had a feeling on the outside we were like that too. So when they show you Irv's outside, like outie, it just didn't give me anything in the first season. Honestly, the second season I was still confused. But I just love his Innie so much. But yeah, I would say with Helly definitely was the biggest change from Innie to outie, and I definitely think it was a really good setup for season two. I think getting a glimpse into what their outies deal with was also great. And I think even Dylan, even though in the first season we don't see him outside, we do get that little glimpse of when he, you know, is in the closet with Milchick and he is, you know, being like interrogated almost, and then his kid jumps in. Like that was like something, because you he's such a grumpy guy that like just wants like a date almost, like he just like loves women, that like you don't even think that like, wait, he might actually be in a relationship and has kids. So that was kind of like a shock. So yeah, hers was definitely the big,
it was like a soft spot I had like such a soft spot for Dylan after that closet moment, because I was like, oh my God, like he has like a completely different life than what I envisioned for him based on his innies attitude and like everything. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree. So were there any like early theories that you had that like for any of the characters or just in general about Lumen that like did or didn't hold up throughout the whole season one?
Well, I mean, I thought that Irving and Bert were going to be the two straight dudes who were like, ew, we have a relationship. So that, you know, when you find out, that was kind of a letdown. I felt like they were the same people outside.
Right. Exactly. That's literally my thought. I was like, why are they the same? They're innies and they're outies. But maybe that's supposed to be that way because like that's who they truly are, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. I would say that, I mean, I was really shocked with Gemma.
Miss Casey. Oh my God. That's my next question. We'll get into it.
That was the most shocking, I think, to me, because I had no idea. Like, I didn't know where we were going. I felt like she was kind of random, Miss Casey. And then, you know, they mentioned that Gemma's dead. So I didn't really get the correlation at all. That was a gag for sure. And I did not like Mark. So I think my impression of them was kind of what I thought, except obviously I didn't realize that Helly was going to be an Egan. So that was the most shocking to me. And then I was hoping that Irv would have just been a lot different outside, just because like, look at, you know, Helly's, for example. That was kind of like my idea went nowhere when we got to see it. So that was kind of my interpretation. And then I was kind of let down that they were kind of similar as an outie. What about you?
No, same. I wasn't even really sure what Miss Casey's like positioning in the show was really meant for. Like when she was doing, mm-hmm. like when she was monitoring Helly, like I was like, what mm-hmm. is this? And like her interactions with Mark S. were just like, again, he just felt like very monotone to me. So I was like, it's nothing like, it's not like he's having this like romantic interest in Miss Casey. So it was just,
right.
I didn't really have like a story arc in my brain for her character at least. So I was shook at the end when he's like, she's alive and like is at his sister's house and is like seeing the photo of them and is like, holy shit, like I know this person. It's like his outie, but then also his innie. So like it was just, that was so shocking to me. But I always knew something was up with Miss Cobell because like obviously she was like her outie version was his neighbor. Like she would like do weird things, enter his house. Like she was up to something. I almost felt like more confident in understanding her character in season one than I was in season two, which we'll get into.
Yeah, for but sure.
That one, I guess, did or didn't hold up for me. But like in season two, it didn't hold up. In season one, it did. For Miss Cobell.
Well, I feel like with Miss Cobell, I wish that so she was not an innie or outie, so she was not severed, and I wish that that was the case. Like I think it would have been more interesting if she was also like maybe a nice woman outside that lived next door and not his boss watching him. So like I kind of wish that was different. But I get it at the same time, like they obviously had like a mission and they're using him for something. And I mean, now we know what it is. So it makes sense. But I wish there was like a different storyline to her, because season two, her really confused me.
So confusing. Like the one episode that was just pretty much like her going back to like her hometown type of deal. I was like, what are we watching? Like it was so insane. That was a rough episode.
Well, okay, so well, speaking of Miss Casey, what did you think of like the wellness like little room? What were your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I wasn't really understanding. Like I got like the concept of it, but like her questions or lack thereof questions and her just like spitting out like random facts about their outie. Like I was like, how is this considered wellness? Like what is happening? And I just like couldn't get over like her character being kind of like her eyes glassed over. Like I felt like there was a human behind the human and like we couldn't figure out what was happening there, because her, again, mm-hmm. like her monotone voice, like her weird questions mm-hmm. Was just so bizarre to me and so off-putting that like I couldn't get past that. And then like the wellness room was just kind of like, it didn't scream wellness. It screamed danger. What about you?
So I felt like, I think where you were kind of going with her character is, because I feel the same way, I feel like she was almost robotic.
Yes.
Like it just, it seemed like lack of like humanity.
Exactly.
And again, we kind of know why now. But I really liked the wellness room because I thought that this idea of them going in and she's kind of like spitting out traits of their outie, I just think was like, almost like comedic relief to me. Like it didn't seem realistic at all. And like nothing, it didn't present itself as like, it was actually like a wellness center and I'm going to help you feel better. To me, I felt like it was just to like chuckle at because it was so strange. Like when she's telling Irv, like, you're really great at lovemaking. And he like giggled and she's like, no response. Like that was so good.
Yeah, no, it was like so serious though. So I was like, it's like, should I laugh? I don't know. Like, is this meant to be comedic? I don't know. So were you like even thinking anything about like the depth to the wellness room? Like what would that mean for these characters later on as they start to kind of like unwrap what Lumen is doing?
So how I took it. So in the moment, no, I guess like I didn't think that there was like a deeper meaning to the wellness room. I don't think that it necessarily meant anything. I think it was just supposed to make them feel better. However, I think when you listen to what they're saying, it's almost a lie. Like I feel like everything they spew with them is like just to make them think that like, oh, my outie is like a really fun person or they're interesting or, but there really were none of those. Like it was interesting looking back at it and you're like, I don't think that really explained that person at all.
No, I totally agree. Like maybe Irving's a little bit, but so funny. I think, okay, so even going into Irving's character and like his love story arc, I know you already shared, like you thought he would probably be like a single guy, straight male on the outside. But do you think, like what was your overall thoughts to like his love story in season one and kind of like the buildup there between him and Bert?
I loved it. I thought it was really like a really nice way of taking, you know, he meets this guy who's, you know, another employee at Lumen that like they don't ever work with, which again was another odd thing that like there is another group of people working here because it's this, you know, big building of white walls. It's a maze. You never see anybody. But I think it was like nice that he found someone that he connected with in some way. And I love that they showed it their development as like they were almost afraid to like be anything or like really say that they liked each other, but you can tell they both were always wanting to see one another. And I think that scene where like they touch each other's like hand, it was really beautiful. I don't know if it's just because like I know what that's like being almost afraid to like say you like someone because they're the same sex and then getting that response that they also like you back. It was like a beautiful moment, I think. And I love that it was like two old gays. Like it was just, you know, so nice to see.
It is nice to see on screen. And honestly, I feel like the like push and pull of like, we should, shouldn't we, or no, we can't, right, type of deal. And like, you know, that happens in like workplaces all the time. Like people, you spend so much time with these people that sometimes like office romances happen, you know, and having that in a place like Lumen, I felt like was kind of like pulled me out of the sci-fi of it all. And like the scary deepness to the show that I felt like was really heartwarming as well. I really enjoyed it. But I also just like have such a soft spot for both of them. Especially once we got into season two and that whole part.
Well, should we dive into season two?
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Well, okay. So I guess my first question would be seeing all of season two and then the build up going through season one and then having this build up throughout season two. So you already know of what happened once you're finished season one. Do you feel like the pace was better because season one moved a bit slower in the beginning? Or do you feel like it was kind of the same? Like, what were your impressions of season two?
Okay, so I felt like the first couple episodes in season two had a quicker pace and made things in season one make more sense. So I was fine with that. And then I felt like we kind of fell into this like lull of things being really slow. where I was like, where are we going with this? Like, I don't remember the exact episodes, like what number order they were, but like the episode with Miss Cobell, like, yes, it the last 15 minutes of that episode made sense for the following, but all of the buildup in between, like before that, I was like, what? Like, it just didn't make sense, which, like, I understand. We need to, like, make a story and get there. It just felt really far removed, and it just threw me off, and also got really slow, you know? But I feel like the pace in season two definitely picked up a little bit more. The pieces about Gemma, once we really got to know, like, her character outside and then understand, like, where she was – that she was in Lumen. I was like, is this a different place? Like, is this a different office for Lumen? Like, where is this? So the fact that we got there a little bit quicker than I feel like if that was played out in season one with the pace for season one, it might be a little different, but I definitely felt like it picked up a little bit, which I was happy about because I thought it was going to be like way longer of a show. It felt like season one took so long. So when I realized it was like not that many episodes, I was like, oh shit. Okay, here we go. We're almost through.
I think I was on such a high from the finale of season one that when season two picks up, you know, they're going, Mark goes back to work and it's like new people. They say that like X amount of time goes by. And I was very confused in the very beginning. Like I was ready for everyone to just tell them, you know, oh my God, I'm an Egan. And oh my God, I don't know what I am outside. I just see a bunch of paintings drawn of this hallway. So like, there were so many questions I had. And I felt like the beginning of season two, I was like, we just went backwards. Like, now I need you guys to catch up. And the part that really confused me, I think once this ended, it got back to normal to me. But when they were like in the wilderness, in the snow, I was very confused.
That's what I'm saying. Like that episode was like a few in, I feel like. And I was like, what? Like, I understand now Mr. Milchek's running things. He wants things to be kind of different. At first, I didn't believe him. Like, I was like, oh, he's just saying that to get them to come back. But then he was doing things that were like slightly different. So, and then the wilderness thing, I was like, what is happening? And then you saw like their innies and their outies kind of, or like another version of their innie. Like it was just so confusing. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And I feel like, so the whole time that wilderness part was happening, I was like, are they in a VR? Like, are we going to see them with like headsets on? Like, I was just so confused. But I think the part that kind of wrapped that up in a bow that made it feel like it was like important was because of course we find out that Helly was actually, you know, her outie was on the inside, trying to get kind of like some tea. So that part was, you know, juicy, like her sleeping with Mark and then Mark thinking that it was his girl the whole time. And then Irv's trying to drown her. I'm like, what is going on? But then it all made sense. Like, but I think that's in true Severance fashion. It's like getting to the point takes forever, but the point you're like, ah, that was the piece I was missing. So I do think season two definitely moved at like, once that happened for me, I think it was moving at a better pace. I also really liked that there was more character development for the rest of, you know, Mark's team outside. Like I thought that really, to me, set season one and season two apart and made me appreciate season two more because I really do like the other characters and I loved getting to see them outside. So I felt like it was a really good season and it just honestly makes me excited for season three.
No, I totally agree. I felt more connected to each one of them in season two and just had a better understanding, even though there were so many confusing parts, like just obviously now you're in a whole new season. But I felt like I didn't even understand enough of these characters in season one yet. So like, thank God we didn't have to wait 2 years to watch season two because I was like very much in the know. It's funny because like the Helena portion when she came in and was like her outie on the inside, I was like, I didn't know that happened at first. Like I wasn't realizing that. And then I was like, oh, okay. But you know how there's like a difference in their characters, like appearance when they're on the inside versus the outside, I was like, wait a minute, she looks the exact fucking same. Like, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. So they did such a good job, like, paying attention to, like, every aspect of Helly's demeanor and, like, her hair, her, like, attitude. But then when they, like, said it, I was like, oh, my God. Her bangs were swift over to the side too much. They weren't in her face. Like, Helly wears them. Like, it was crazy. But I was shook that Irving figured it out. But as it was being played out, I was like, what is he doing? Like, is he going crazy because he's sad about Bert?
Yeah.
Like, right. I don't think he – because his outside reaction to finding all his paintings and, like, just seeing that he lives alone and has a dog, like, I was like, I don't think he's happy with his outside. So I didn't understand, like, why he was, like, rebelling at first so much. But yeah, it was his story arc, and that whole scene with him trying to drown her was like so crazy to me.
I feel like there's more to his story.
Totally.
That we didn't get. And honestly, I was real annoyed that they like shipped him off. Like, that pissed me off because I love Irving. So I was like, why are we getting rid of him? I will say MVP to me for season two was Dylan. I loved his character development. I loved getting to see him outside of work. And, like, finding out that he's, you know, this kind of, like, deadbeat dad, if you will. But that he's like, I will keep doing this because I want to support my kids and I want my wife to love me. And then his wife going and seeing his innie, Dylan, and then them, like, kind of, like, having this connection. Like, I just think that part was so good for me.
So beautiful. It was so sad, though, to watch, like, his mm-hmm. innie be so excited and, like, her... Mm-hmm. her character be like almost sad that he was so excited, but also like, oh my God, like this is the guy that I fell in love with. Like I remember him.
Right.
And like, that's such a real concept too. Like that happens all the time. Like people get sucked into their work and like forget that they have this like romantic connection with their partner because you're doing the same things like day in and day out. And it was just kind of yeah. like a beautiful like story arc for Dylan, who's like character in season one, like was so opposite than what I thought was going to happen for him in season two. Oh my God. Okay. So switching gears a little bit, how did you feel about like the appearance of the show and kind of like the set design and just like how different this set was, you know, the very minimal coloring, you know, you're in these white hallways with fluorescent lighting, like, and then on the outside world, it always felt like it was like dark and dreary. Like how was your thoughts on the design aspect?
I think that visually it was a stunning show. I honestly think visually might've been the reason I kept watching it. I remember being like, wow, Mark's like apartment. Like when I first watched it, I thought Mark lived in an apartment for some reason. I was like, oh my God, it's like living room is the same color as this kitchen. Obviously you find out like, when you actually are in the house, that it's not necessarily that way, but like just the way they shoot it, like everything is kind of like monochrome. And I loved that. I thought that was so interesting. And the visuals of like them driving away from the Lumen building, like with all the trees in the parking lot, like everything was shot so beautifully that I honestly think I probably kept watching it because it was like aesthetically so pleasing to me. But, and I thought it was definitely like original. I think the filming of it and the production and all of that, I don't really recall watching anything quite like it. And I think that is another thing that really made it stand out for me. Of course, like the storyline is good, but even parts where I was like very confused or just like didn't really know what I was watching, I feel like I was still engaged because of the way the show is presented. Like even, you know, the maze of a building of just white walls, they in some way made that look so sophisticated and like, I don't know. It's just like, I would want to go tour it.
Well, it is actually a real office space and it's in New Jersey.
It is. Yeah. So close.
So close. No, it's crazy because it was like, you know, it was like designed, I feel like, to feel familiar, but then also like so disorienting, like. How many office buildings all have fucking white hallways and fluorescent lighting? Like,
right.
But then like the you know, the minimalist furniture and, you know, the attention to detail of like, it's very corporate. And they made like the break room and the wellness room, like everything was just standardized, you know, and it's like very structured. But yeah, built like a puzzle for sure. That office, I don't even understand how they ever knew where to turn. Because everything looked the exact same, which is crazy.
I mean, I had the impression that they never really knew where they were running. It always just seemed like they were confused running around in circles.
Oh.
I mean, and then you get into like the depth of them like finding a room of goats. Like it was just so weird.
Can we talk about the goats for a second? What the fuck was that?
I don't know if I can because I don't get it.
I don't either.
I still am like, what were the goats? Yeah.
It's honestly.
Even like at the end when.
Yeah, when she was like gonna, you know, kill the goat and then she kind of saved Mark a little bit.
Oh, loved it. Yeah.
But I was so like, good. This bitch would come back and be the one that saves it. But like, who are you? Why are you killing goats? So, why do you have these goats? Why is there a big green pasture in the middle of Lumen? Like, crazy.
Right.
I think in season three, we'll get more.
It's really funny because so you didn't watch Game of Thrones and she's from Game of Thrones. She has like a really big part in the show. And she's like this like knight who is a woman who has to always prove herself more because she's female. And so it's really funny to see the like memes of like, oh, you know, your innie is this person, but your outie is Brienne of Tarth. And like, that's why she like killed, like almost killed that man at the end. It was just so good. Like the memes on this like weird goat situation and like no one really understood her story or her character. But I agree. I think that season three will probably get more clarification on who she is. I hope so.
I mean, they've got to give these like weird interactions like some screen time because they have to make sense somewhere.
Right.
So insane. I hope that we get more info in season three on like Bert and his husband. I feel like his husband was giving like he knows more or like there's something deeper there. So I hope that they kind of explore that, especially with Bert like sending Irving off, which I hope he comes back for season three. Like,
yeah,
he's one of my faves. So like he needs to be back.
I feel like Bert's husband, that whole part with like them inviting Irving over was very strange to me. And it was like very clear that Irving and Bert, even outside, had like a connection. And then they're like having this connection in front of the husband. I almost feel like Bert's husband is in on Lumen.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Like, I feel like they're going to have to shed more on that because he knows something. Like, the whole religious also, you know piece, who else weird.
Mm-hmm. You know who else I really think is, like, in the know of Lumen stuff?
Who?
Mark's brother-in-law.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. I feel like season one, I wasn't getting that at all. I was just kind of like, oh, he's just the goofy book writer, yeah. But then the book had so much to do with it, and then the season two of it all, like Lumen using him to, you know, basically like rewrite this book for Lumen severed employees, like he's definitely going to be, I think, a bigger story in season three.
I agree.
Which
I love the sister.
Oh, I love her. She's my fave. I forgot about her.
She's so good.
But my fave.
So good.
She's so good. She's, I think, like, you know, she saves Mark and she's like, she cares about Gemma. And I feel like there's more to her that I hope they explore as well in season three.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
All in all, what are your thoughts for, you know, this like cult like mythology and, you know, this difference between like the satire or real world parallel? Like, what's kind of your overall thoughts on like Lumen being severed and the whole story of why like Keir Egan made this a thing? It's a loaded question.
I mean, I feel, yeah. I mean, I feel like in some way, all these big corporate, you know, businesses are all like kind of like Lumen. Like they are in some way a cult. Like you work there, you do everything that you can for this company that like really all they're doing is paying you money, like using your time and giving you money, and then you never really get anything from that. But I feel like the more that I watched, I almost like questioned, like, even like where I work. Like, I was like, I just feel like I'm in a cult. Like, I'm like, am I severed? And then I also am like, if that was like a real thing, like, I definitely think people would do it for sure. Because then, like, you don't really have to, like, because think about it. You go to work, you leave work, and then you're still talking about work. Or you might go to work and you're talking about your personal life because something tragic happened, or, you know what I mean? Like,
there's no separation. You can't leave
emotions online. Exactly. And so I'm like, I feel like if this were a thing, people would definitely do it. And I think that just kind of like poses the question, like, would you do it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. No, I take that back. I do know. I don't think I would do it because I can't like separate. Like, I would feel jealous of my outie and being able to experience and remember things outside of work. Like, the, you know, that's just like the whole robust human experience. Like, you have to be able to, like, yes, you bring work home sometimes, but like, you still have moments where you're not doing work and you're not thinking about work. And also, I feel like, and this is a show, so obviously, like, they're not going to just sit at their desks all day, but like, what is the work they're doing? Like, they don't even know. Whereas, like, I have always tried to put myself in a situation in work where I need to truly understand, like, the goal and, like, the story or whatever it may be to feel so connected to the work for me to be able to do, like, my best, you know? So, like, I could never just go to work and be like, oh, I'm, like, doing whatever. Like, the jobs that I've had like that, I've left because I don't enjoy that, you know? So, like,
yeah,
I just don't – I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could go there. I couldn't do the work that they do. I don't even understand the work they do. And I wouldn't be able to sit on the outside and know that every morning I'm going to wake up and then go into this office and, like, not know what's going on my outside. Like, it's just so fucking weird. Would you do it?
No. I definitely, like, sometimes I think I'm like, oh, it probably would be nice to, like, have separation. So, because, you know, I feel like when you have, like, a rough day at work or a rough week, like, you come home and then you talk about it. And, like, nothing's more annoying than, like, having work take over your personal life too. So in those instances, I'm like, maybe I would. But then I'm like, I don't know if I want to be, like, split into a different person, because as we've seen from the show, like, it doesn't really end well, because now both people feel like they're people. They're just sharing a body, which in itself was wild, the end of season two. Like, how Mark, you know, it's almost like he has split personalities, and any Mark S is too smart to let Audi Mark, like, kind of like get the company shut down, because then any Mark goes bye-bye, you know? So it's such an interesting, like, thing to think about. Like, and I just don't think that I could do that. I guess I'll just, you know, complain again and again and again. But I feel like, yeah, this show, I think, just makes you think about things that are kind of real life stuff. Like, it's more relatable than we think it is. Like, yeah, we're not being severed. Like, that's really the, like, non, you know, that's like the fictional part. But you think about it, like, that is kind of what we all deal with anyway. Like, you do kind of have a separate life when you're at work. Like, you are around different people and you feel different things for different people. Like, I remember someone telling me, like, oh, I wanted to watch Severance, but, like, I don't know enough about what it's about. And I said, well, you're never going to know. Yeah. So just watch
it. You're never going to know.
No, but I think, like, what usually when I tell people, I'm like, well, just imagine you're married on the outside and then you go to work and you don't know that you're married. So you're, like, with another woman. Like, that's what I tell people. And they're like, oh, that's juicy. And I'm like, it's not really.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, I was like,
however, it's like, there's in there, but it's not really like that.
That's so funny. Good way of explaining it, though.
But yeah, I just think that it's something that I could never do, but I definitely think there are people who would do it. And by all means, you could be the guinea pig. Not I.
Not I. Could not be me. I think it is funny, mm-hmm. though, like, how, like, the role of, like, grief and, like, escapism and, like, how that plays into, like, Mark's decision to, like, undergo severance. But, like, I feel like there are so many people in the world that would do it to kind of escape their life outside. Which is so sad, really. But I do, I feel like season two really brought this, like, idea of, like, your relationships with your coworkers becomes so important because you spend so much time with them. So then like Mark at the very end, like running and realizing he found Gemma and like he can leave with her and he like sends her out and then he chooses Helly. Like that moment of like,
well, I was going to say, I just had this discussion with someone recently because I have a friend who's also watching it. And they were like, yeah, I just can't believe that, like, he picked Helly in the end. And I was like, you're forgetting one thing, though.
Well, I know that they can't leave that door.
Well, not only that. Not only that. But, like, so when Mark, when Audi Mark finds Gemma and they're on the lower severed floor, you know, he finds her as this, like, random woman now because they like, altered her and made her another innie. They leave that room and then it's now Audi Mark and Gemma. And they're like, oh my God, you found me. Like, they're like, you know, in love. And like, we got to get out of here. They get on the elevator and now they're no longer either of them. Now it's Innie Mark and Miss Casey. So he knows that Miss Casey is Gemma because Audi Mark had told Innie Mark, but Audi Mark's like, I'm not leaving with her. She's not my wife. So of course he's going to be like, you go, I'm not going. However, when she gets outside of that door and Miss Casey goes from Miss Casey to Gemma, Gemma no longer knows that that's not Mark.
So true.
So that's the gag of it all. So when she's like, come with me, and he's like, yeah, I'm going with Helly. To me, the biggest thing, the slap in the face, was when they turned around and Helly smirked at her. Like, she was like, I got your man. I was floored.
Literally. No, that's so true. I forgot the Gemma portion of it. Like, she doesn't actually know these people and what's going on.
Right.
But she right. is Miss Casey. So she did, kind of.
Right.
So crazy.
Right.
That's like the whole arc of the show is like trying to understand all of these like complex relationships and like the mm-hmm. breakdown between who, like which personality they are and relationships, really. Like that's in that moment, I was like almost happy that he went with Helly. Because I wasn't ready to give that like love story up. But then I also realized like he is setting Miss Casey free. He's not setting Gemma free. You know what I mean? Like he's like letting like his right. innie knows that that's Miss Casey, not Gemma. But he also knows that it's Gemma. It's just, oh my God. It hurts my brain, honestly, a little bit.
I mean, it'll leave so many questions open for season three. I honestly, like, my brain can't even compute, like, where they're going to go. Because I'm still like, what just happened?
What just happened? Will the outside world ever learn the truth? Like, we don't know.
No, probably. I mean, I guess when they end the season, it will. But that brings me to another point. Like, you mentioned, like, the what Mark does. And how I remember watching season one and being like, what is the game he's playing? Like, what is it? Because I was like, I need to know. I can't go through the whole season and not know. And the answer was no one knows. And I was like, I don't like that answer. So obviously the end of season two, you kind of find out, you don't really know what it, like what the numbers really mean, but you know that it's like a way of like him creating this like new, like he's storing emotions and he's storing like it, they're creating another innie, if you will. So you kind of understand that, but I'm still like, I'm still so confused by it. Like,
so confused. I'm like,
how is that doing anything?
What is the point of doing that? Like, it's just right. so complex, which obviously I feel like we'll get in my eyes. We'll probably have more time in the office in season three than we did in season two. Yeah. I feel like season two, we had a lot of outside of the office.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel like that, we might like see more details into like why and what they're doing with this, like now that he's like reached this point. But it'll be interesting because I'm like, okay, well, is Mark going to be like the new Mr. Milchek? Like, what's happening? You know? So I hope that it doesn't take them another two freaking years to create season three because I'm ready. I need to know what's happening. I need to know what's going on. But if anybody's interested, there is a like companion podcast to the show that I just found, with Adam Scott, who plays Mark S, and then Ben Stiller, who produced and directed the show. So that's definitely one that everyone should check out if they've enjoyed this conversation. I know. I will definitely go back and listen to it because I love to hear like director tidbits on like, you know, how things are made and just like what their maybe initial thoughts were that people were going to have about these characters and what their point of view was and why they did certain things. I wish we could know all of it.
Same.
But that was quite the show. Two seasons down. Can't wait for the next one.
Of course.
All right. Well, next week I will be home and with you. I'm so excited. Only a few days away. Going back to New Jersey.
I know.
Back to Philly. So can't excited.
Wait. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed. And if we spoiled anything for you, I'm so sorry. But you should have watched.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. You knew. All right, guys. Well, we will see you guys next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.